Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu chapter 13. In the last parak, Yirmiyahu questioned why bad people, even the men from Anasos or Nebuchadnezzar, are successful with their evil intent and asks Hashem to be rid of them. Hashem says it's not a few people who are bad, but the whole nation, and Hashem will not destroy an entire people. Hashem then says a kinna, a lamentation, for the upcoming destruction. The parak ends off with another nevuah predicting the exile of the nations surrounding Yehuda and makes a stipulation that when they come back from Galus, they need to acknowledge Hashem, not idols, otherwise they will be exiled and destroyed again. This parak has a different focus. It focuses on trying to help the Jewish people come back to Hashem to do teshuva. When the Nevi'im wanted to inspire people, they not only shared eloquent words, they did symbolic actions to move the people to change. First, Yirmiyahu is told to buy an Ezer Plishtim, a linen sash to be worn as a girdle, wear it, and make sure it never touches water. Then he is told to bring the belt to Nahar Pras and bury it there. Finally, he is told to return to Nahar Pras and retrieve the belt as a symbol for the future. The Ezer Plishtim was chosen purposefully. The Me'am Loi says that the Ezer, the sash, is a sign of wealth and strength, while the linen was the cloth of the Kohanim and the nobility. Pishtim is a thinner fabric that clings to the body better than wool. Something that is worn over the loins needs to be washed frequently to clean it. Washing also helps strengthen the fabric. Despite this need from both a cleanliness and a durability perspective, Yirmiyahu could not wash this fabric that represents wealth and the strength of the noble class. The symbolism of this action is that this belt strengthens a person. When Bnei Yisrael are connected to Hashem, they are strengthened. When they act similarly to how Yirmiyahu is behaving, when they do not try to clean themselves from the dirt of life, from the averus they have done, their connection to Hashem is weakened, just as this sash is weakened. Yirmiyahu listened to Hashem and did as he is told. Hashem then came with his second command, that he should take this sash and travel to Parasa. There he would hide it in the cleft of the Sela, the rock. In a fantastic book, Uncovering Sefer Yirmiyahu, written by Rabbi Yehuda Landi, he discusses the location of Pras. Throughout Tanakh, Pras generally refers to the Euphrates River that stretches from Turkey to Iraq. It only passes by a small section of Israel in the northeast corner of Eretz Israel. According to the Mishnah and Tainis, this location is 2 weeks' travel from Yerushalayim. The Me'am Loi says that Yirmiyahu did indeed travel 4 times to this location to bury and unbury the sash. Traveling allowed his message to spread beyond the residents of Yerushalayim to everyone in Eretz Israel. The Rambam says this nevuah was only a vision and didn't take place in reality, as this travel would have been unrealistic. Rabbi Landi, quoting other modern scholarship, suggests that there is a town, Para, mentioned in Yehoshua that is close to Anasos, which has a hill near a spring, which is nowadays known as Ein El-Fara in the Wadi Kelt. While the Euphrates banks are covered in sand, there are stones in Wadi Kelt where Yirmiyahu could have hidden the sash. Verse 6, Vayhi Miketz Yamim Rabim. Then, after a long time, Hashem gives the third command to return to Paras and take the sash that Hashem had commanded should be buried. Yirmiyahu goes and digs up the sash where it had been buried. The sash was ruined. Pasuk 7. Lo yitzlach hakol. It was not good for anything. Hashem now reveals what the symbolism has been for all these commands. Kacha ashchis esgon Yehuda vesgon Yerushalayim harav. So will I ruin the pride of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. The sash represents arrogance and strength. In our morning blessings, we say, Ozer Yisrael Begvura, Hashem girds Yisrael with strength. All the other brachos are written in general terms. We bless Hashem who lets us see and who helps us stand. With this bracha, we mention that only Yisrael is blessed with this kind of strength. According to the Sefer Olas Tamid, the belt represents the control of the upper part of the body, the sechel, the intellect, over the lower half, the physical, over the Yetzer Hara. Hashem endows the Jewish people with the special capability to overcome their Yetzer Hara, to say no to themselves. The Gemara in Beitza asks, why was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael? It answers, because they are azim, they are strongly opinionated. When Klal Yisrael is connected to Hashem like an Ezer, like belt, they can have gevura, strength, and ignore peer pressure. When they are disconnected, this confidence and strength morphs into arrogance. Arrogance, according to the Chovetz of Levavos, is the trait Hashem hates the most. Arrogance prevents a person from improving or seeing their flaws. It opens up a person to harming others as they view themselves as more important. When a person is arrogant, they do whatever they want instead of what Hashem wants. They create their own gods and then serve them, which is a kind of self-worship. In the end, they will rot away like this belt Yehuda buried. The Das Sofrim says that it was hard for Yehuda to keep their pride in check. They compared themselves to the nations around them, and they noticed that they were far better. Their national and religious pride prevented them from seeing themselves honestly. Verse 11 tells us that when Klal Yisrael is doing the right thing, Hashem is connected to Yisrael like a sash clings to the loins. It is not just the individuals who are elevated. We are Hashem's Am, His nation, and we elevate the whole world by introducing spirituality into all our physical choices. This connection to Hashem and our role gives us the shame, the sila, the sefaris, for fame, praise, and splendor. This phrase is found in the Brachos in Devarim and is also said in the first paragraph of Lecha Dodi. The Ha'aretz HaTefillah in his commentary on Lecha Dodi says that sefaris and tehillah, that which gives us praise and splendor in the eyes of the world, is when we exercise our bechira, our free will, and make choices that go against our nature. In Perek Tes, chapter 9, we said a person shouldn't praise himself for his intellect, strength, or wealth that require no free will. In Lecha Dodi, it says we get shamed tzeferes u'zehila when we act in ways that show we believe that Hashem echad u'shmo echad, that Hashem is one. When we listen only to Hashem and not to other influences and use our bechira, our free will, properly, the other nations are impressed with us. That's not what happened with Yehuda. V'lo shomeu, they would not obey. They chose to listen to themselves rather than listening to Hashem and acknowledging His oneness. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to do another symbolic act. He is told to say to the people, "Kol nevel yimalei yayin." Every jar should be filled with wine. The nation will respond incredulously, "Hayadoa lo neida ki kol nevel yimalei yayin." Don't we know that every jar should be filled with wine? This is elementary. What is Yirmiyahu telling them, and why is he told to tell them this? People generally don't have large Rubbermaid storage containers hanging around. Storage will have the season's clothes or sukkah decorations. You only buy those big 5-gallon bins when you have something that you need to put into them. The Das Sofrim explains that asking about their storage containers is hinting that Klal Yisrael has empty containers around. They themselves are the containers. They are empty. They need to be filled with substance. They need to have lives of meaning. If they don't, then the vacuum in their lives will be filled with foolishness and materialism. Everyone, from the kings on the throne to the Kohanim to the Nevi'im to Yerushalayim, will be filled with drunkenness. Verse 14 tells us what happens when they abandoned their lives of meaning. When that happens, no one is spared from hurting each other. V'nifatztim ish elachiv v'ha'avos v'abanim yachdav. And I will smash them, a person against his brother, parents and children alike. People will be broken by the pain of their interactions with others, just like pottery shatters when it collides with other pottery. Hashem will have no pity and will destroy them. Yirmiyahu warns one more time that they should listen and pay attention to Hashem. Verse 15, Al tig bahu, don't be haughty. They insist that there's something special. They are arrogant and refuse to be submissive to Hashem or to Nebuchadnezzar, who is coming to attack them. They don't want to be a nation that is under another nation. They demand honor for themselves. But, Hashem tells them, they should decide to give kavod b'terem yachshech, give honor to Hashem before He brings darkness to the world. The Malbim says that this pasuk is referring specifically to Tzidkiyahu. When Nebuchadnezzar installed Tzidkiyahu as king, he made him swear in Hashem's name that he would never rebel, and he changed his name to Tzidkiyahu to remember this promise. Tzidkiyahu kept his word for a while, and then he went back on his word, and he decided to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. This pasuk is telling us he should honor Hashem by keeping his promise. The Radak says this pasuk is speaking in general terms, that we should listen to Hashem before Hashem punishes, and the world, Yashis la'arafel, becomes a deep gloom. Verse 17, not only Tzidkiyahu is being punished, when Klal Yisrael doesn't listen, they are setting themselves up to be destroyed because of their arrogance. Yirmiyahu cries out, "B'mistarim tivke nafshi," because of hidden things, my soul weeps. He He cries rivers of tears for the loss of the Shekhinah and the Chil Hashem that comes, Kinishba Eder Hashem, because the flock of Hashem has been taken captive. In verse 18, we now transition to a new nevuah that goes from a request about arrogance that is addressed to the whole nation to a request that is being addressed to two individuals, to the king and the Gvira, the queen mother. Rashi says, this is nevuah is being addressed to Jehoiachin, Yechonia, and his mother, who were exiled to Babel by Nebuchadnezzar. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to tell them, Hashpilu Shevu, sit in a low spot. They should stop acting like royals, as they are now living in Galus. The events in Israel are not in their favor. Verse 19, Arei HaNegev Sugiru. The cities of the Negev are shut. The southern cities were either abandoned when the war came, or they were exiled from the battles in Israel. Haglas Shlomim. In the times of Yechonia, the Galus was Shlomim, peaceful. They escaped with their lives. Others interpret this pasuk to mean that the Galus begins with Yechonia and his mother, but will end with Tzidkiyahu, Shleima, it will be complete. Yirmiyahu continues and asks the king to look at the Kastim who are coming from the north. They should wonder, Aye ha'eder nitanlach, where are the sheep entrusted to you? Son tefarteich, the flock you took pride in. As the rulers, they were meant to lead and take care of the sheep. Instead, they led their people to be captured. The leaders have no excuses. Yirmiyahu addresses the queen mother using feminine verbs. Verse 21, Matomri ki yifkod alayach lerosh. What will you say when they appoint over you rulers? Va'at limad osam alayach alufim. You taught them to be rulers over you. The queen mother had been married to Jehoiakim, who had invited the Bavlim to teach them how to serve their Avodah Zarah. If she asks herself, why is this happening? Why am I being degraded? Why am I losing my position? It is happening because of her and her relatives' sins. These sins are like niglu shulayich, that your skirts are lifted up. When people want to shame women, they would lift their petticoats over their heads to degrade them so that they would appear before them in a degrading fashion. This is how they will feel, degraded and exposed by the exile. Yirmiyahu continues that there is no hope for them to do tshuva as they are not going to change. Verse 23, Hayahapoch Kushi Oro? Can a Kushite, can a black man change his skin? Vina mer chavar bu rosav? Or the leper in his spots? Like skin color or hide patterns, their evil has become second nature. Lumudei harea, you have made it into your habit to do bad. Yirmiyahu then goes on to describe their punishment, how they will be scattered like straw, blown all over the world, and this will be, verse 25, your goral, your lot in life. A goral, a lottery, is not chosen by the person. It may seem like luck, but how a lottery falls out is dependent on what Hashem wants from their life. Hashem is the one in control. They will be getting minas midayach me'iti, your measured portion from me. Everything that's happening is midah k'neged midah, measure for measure. Just like they forgot Hashem and thought they controlled the world, Hashem will hide from them. In verses 26 and 27, Yirmiyahu says that Hashem will shame them publicly in a way that is comparable to a petticoat being lifted above a woman's head because of all their yufayach umitz halosayach, your adulteries and your joy. The adultery, says Adas Hosfrim, is any act against Hashem. The Radak says they sinned with so much joy and excitement that there is no hope they will turn back. The nevuah ends, Oy lach Yerushalayim, woe to Yerushalayim, lo sit hari who will not be clean, acharei masai od, how much longer shall it be? This parak had two parts. The first part was a message conveyed with symbols. At Hashem's command, Yirmiyahu wore a sash as a girdle, buried it, and retrieved it to show the nation how much it had decayed. This symbolized how Yehuda could have been close to Hashem, but they chose to act with arrogance, which led them to sin. They are weakened by their choices. The second part of the parak was a message to Yechonia and his mother, who need to accept their fate and their change in status. Their choices have led the nation to Galus. At this point, because the sins are second nature, they and their people will not change, and there will be destruction. One of the main lessons we can take away from this parak is that we need to ask ourselves, what do we think when we say, Ozer Yisrael Begrura, that Hashem girds us with strength? Where do we think we get our strength from? What do we consider our strength? What are we proud of, and where does it lead us? If Israel compares itself to other nations, they may end up feeling superior, which leads them down the path to mistakes. They hurt others and are self-absorbed, which leads them to try to fill the void with other things. They get arrogant. Instead of this, a person should always remember that Hashem is in charge. He can feel pride in his role and confident that Hashem will help him in accomplishing his tasks in this world, always with humility and always remembering that Hashem is in charge. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.